Hello, everyone. Welcome to the very first episode of Zorian Podcast, where we talk about technologies and business practices transforming enterprises to be future ready. My name is Shailesh Pardesi. I'm working at Zorian as AVP Technology. I've been in the industry for the last 22 years, and I've been working on a lot of different technologies, .NET, Java, Python, UI frameworks. And when it comes to cloud, I have worked on Azure and AWS. I am going to be co-hosting today's discussion on storage first pattern for cloud with my colleague, Yogesh.
Hello, everybody. My name is Yogesh Sharma. I work as a principal architect at Zorian and bring around 18 years of industry experience working with various cloud technologies providers such as GCP, Microsoft Azure, and AWS. I am so happy to share a discussion with my co-host, Shailesh, today. So, Shailesh, when you mentioned storage-first pattern, the first word that came to my mind is, it is interesting. And so, this new approach or a pattern called storage-first pattern for a cloud, can you throw some more light on this for our listeners?
Sure, Yogesh. We both have been in the industry for quite a long time now, and we have been traditionally working on large enterprise applications using the API-based approach. We expose APIs, we consume APIs, and our complete ecosystem revolves around these APIs. The problem with API-based approach is we have to process the data before we store it somewhere and put it in a repository. A user, a system, or a third-party application that will be consuming the APIs will pull some data, which will be stored in the database, which is then used for processing. Any API may take 200 to 250 milliseconds of time, and it adds to the processing also. There's a queue, right? I mean, you know, traditionally, if you look at the web servers, there's a large amount of APIs which are being processed. You may see some queue on the server, especially in high load scenarios. But if you look at the storage first pattern, it accepts the payload and puts it directly into the database or in the queue. Right? Or if we talk about AWS, Kinesis, DynamoDB, without doing any processing, right? It does the basic transformation and stores the files in the storage, either queue or a database. This ensures that the data is in a safe place in the minimal amount of time, and a lot of processing can be applied on top of it. For example, you know, you can have a rules engine, you can have a different logic, different algorithms. So the payload that has been stored in the repository or the queue, you know, you process on that, and then it can be shared within the organization, within the different departments, right? It can be passed on to your partners, your vendors, right? So a lot of usage on top of that data can be done. So if we talk about this, the milliseconds that we're talking about, right? I mean, API gateway adds some milliseconds, but that would be in both the cases. Right? So this processing time definitely adds an overhead, and that can be avoided with our storage first pattern.
That's a great breakdown, Shailesh. Thanks for simplifying it. I look at this as making the consumer happy. And then the processing time, as you mentioned, it will be reduced once you use this pattern where we will dump up the receiving data in a storage and then work on the data for any task formation. In that way, the consumer who has called our API will be happy to do other work. Meanwhile, his processing is getting completed, right? It's really good to have such a thing coming up altogether.
Yes. Now that you mentioned about customers' happiness, one thing that we need to keep in mind here is that APIs work mostly in a synchronous manner, where they would get a response back saying this is the response of the data that you shared with us. Success, failures, or any modified data is responded back. Right? Our customers are very happy to see your transaction is successful, right? Nobody wants to see, okay, your transaction, we have recorded your transaction and then we'll get back to you, right? Our customers are impatient. But here, in the storage first pattern, we will only inform the customer that we have received that their information will be processing it. So you need to keep that in mind because, you know, customers may expect a success scenario. So think of scenarios like webhook implementation, where we are processing each and every webhook at some point of time. In that case, we need reliability, scalability, and high performance, while also keeping cost low. So using storage first pattern makes a lot of sense here. Even from integration point of view, storage first pattern approach would ensure that the integration is resilient, reliable, and then we can inform stakeholders involved that the integration took place. It has been successful.
Definitely, Shailesh, I totally agree. When I say the consumer will be happy, it is because user knows the requested process is ongoing and he will get some data back in some time. Now, I have one question. As you said, it's asynchronous. So definitely we will need to build up something where the processing is complete. That would mean we need to share the API or a data back to the consumer. How will that be done? Will you ask the customer to call out the separate API for getting this response back, or there be some other mechanism that we will be building up?
That's a very good question, Yogesh. Because if you look at from the implementation point of view, you will probably want to share a callback URL and let the customer know that this is the endpoint where the updates will go up once the data is processed. And then there are different varieties of implementation in the space. I mean, if you look at the way AWS EventBridge, which is an offering from AWS, is set up, everyone within the organization is notified whenever a message is posted. So it works in a pub/sub model, and you know all the consumers can leverage that. Right? Whereas for entities which are external to the organization, they can always subscribe to webhooks or give contact info where they can get the updates once the information passes. So if we talk about, you know, mortgage industry business use case, okay? In mortgage, you know, whenever a loan application is submitted, a lot of processing starts in parallel, right? You know, there will be a credit score request, there will be employee verification request, loan officer would need some information, your applicant needs to know what is the status, right? So there's a lot of information that is being pushed from one system to another system. Now, all this happens in the background, right? You may not know the response, whether one application has been submitted, whether it has been approved or not approved, whether it has been on hold, because it would take some time for data processing. Then loan officers and service providers would be notified, and they would again inter-notify back to the system that this integration and service you have asked for has been completed. Now, this is all financial transactions, right? Here, reliability of data and transactions is important. So in such scenarios, when storage first pattern is implemented, you can be just assured that your systems are reliable and resilient.
Great. So in this scenario, is my understanding right? This concept is not specific to the cloud. This can be implemented on-premise as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the way cloud has been structured, considering the technologies on cloud like API Gateway on AWS or API Management on Azure, they offer this functionality natively, right? And API Gateway on AWS allows you to write your information directly to SQS or DynamoDB or Kinesis or Lambda, right? Directly from an API. This is natively being offered by cloud, whereas on-premise, you will have to implement this by writing either a custom API or, you know, or writing maybe an HTTPS endpoint for your repository, which can be consumed at a gateway layer. Right? So native implementation at cloud and again, I mean, you know, some customization on premises.
Okay. So thanks, Ailesh. It means that there should be a substantial improvement in the response time of the API because of this approach, isn't it?
Definitely. So I spoke about the overhead added by API Gateway, which would be there in both the cases. But if we talk about the processing time, you know, this time can definitely be saved. So if I talk about, you know, the implementation that we have done in a couple of client scenarios, we have seen a lot of boost in the API response time. In fact, you talked about SQS and then a Lambda or a function, you know, listening to an SQS. When we implemented this recently for a customer in the mortgage space, the response times were very quick, even for billions of requests. We were able to achieve a lot of optimizations and we achieved a lot of cost savings as well.
That's amazing, Shailesh. Can you elaborate on some of the work we had done for our clients?
Sure. For a customer from mortgage industry, we were supposed to get webhooks notification from the loan origination system. The customer was using LOS, that is loan origination software from one of their vendors. And the LOS was generating multiple webhooks for a single update, right? So even if you are updating a single field, it would generate some 20 plus webhooks. Now, our client was supposed to handle all such webhooks, and then, you know, we were getting almost millions of webhooks in a day. And even within an hour or minute, you would see thousands of such webhooks coming in. And, you have to process it, right? I mean, you do not have any other option, right? You do not have an option of reconciling it at a later stage. And it is very important to know, what those webhooks are, because they are updating you with the status of a particular loan application. So initially we considered scaling the APIs, but that would require a lot of infrastructure. Right? You understand horizontal scalability, you can do it, but then you would need multiple servers, right? And but not doing anything would mean the response time increases because of low infrastructure. So we decided to implement a storage first pattern approach, as it was important to receive the information first and then think about processing. And then when we implemented it, we could share a lot of data processed by our Lambdas with the clients in less amount of time with less cost. So the data comes directly to your queues, and then you apply some basic transformations on it and then put it in the event bridge where a lot of rules would take care of the rest of your processing. And to speak of another instance, a security client was, where we implemented storage first approach, the client who's in security space was generating a lot of information from the network traffic. And they wanted a way where they can view it in a meaningful way. And so we put up a dashboard on top of that information and developed an algorithm to aggregate useful data that the client could then leverage. So we again implemented the storage first approach here. We got the data directly into our queues and our database. And then we applied processing on top of it for the visualization. Right? So the scalability achieved was, 7 petabytes storage capacity and, almost 30 gigs of data that we were getting in a day for one tenant. So that is the kind of scalability we could get.
That is really interesting to know, Shailesh, that our Jorian customers are leveraging the storage first pattern to achieve the throughput and the response time.
Yeah, definitely. If you look at some of the business values, you can look at the faster response time, which improves overall customer experience. You can have increased resiliency, which means, happy customers, returning customers, repeat business. And then overall lower cost, right? So overall cost of infrastructure can be less based on the implementation.
So when we say business value, do we also foresee any challenges with this pattern or any specific steps or something to take care to avoid any issues or challenges?
Right. So whenever we implement a pattern or a specific architecture, it is very important to understand the applicability. If this pattern is applicable to your nature of problem, you should go for it. But you must also think very carefully of the technologies you have to use, because nowadays we are getting a lot of API gateways and technologies which are on cloud and also available on premise as well. But if you find technologies offering it natively, go for it. Custom developments may certainly create problems because if your pipeline is taking a lot of time in terms of accepting data from users and putting into the repository, it is better to use the traditional approach rather than going for this pattern. The objective is to save time on the data processing, but if your chosen technology isn't able to achieve that, then there is no point.
Okay, so let's take a step back and think from the perspective of compliance. For an example, we are doing some finance-related application. Will there be any challenges to apply this pattern or I'm reading something wrong there?
No, you're reading absolutely right in that case. Because in a stock market situation where if I'm placing an order, the value I placed in this order is very important. So that comes into picture. With the asynchronous kind of pattern, I think we will have some challenges. And even in the banking, cutoff time, balance, you know, all those things will impact the system. Processing power and the time taken will also be important here. You know, the time taken to process the information, if it goes beyond what is allowed, it would backfire for the enterprise. For example, I mean, you know, if you are into share market, the rate of a particular script will keep changing every second or so. So if you have accepted the request at that particular time and then, you know, something changed drastically, that may create a lot of problems.
Definitely. And cost-wise, as per my read, definitely different components will be required. But as we know, there is a connection between the cost and the performance. We do sometimes horizontal scaling, sometimes we do vertical scaling. So do you see any adverse impact on the total operation cost or implementation cost because of this pattern?
Overall, I think cost should remain in control because if we have to scale your APIs a lot, you would be spending more money compared to the, you know, mortgage client we spoke. There we were able to save a cost, but it would differ implementation to implementation. Additional components would definitely bring in more cost, but then the trade-off of between reliability and speed of work against cost, I think, certainly is a deciding factor.
Telesh, I think overall this storage-first pattern approach looks promising, and it's going to help with performance issues of APIs. I would like to consider exploring this pattern in our future projects, if possible.
Definitely. Storage-first pattern for cloud is an incredibly useful approach for high-velocity workloads and building resiliency for downstream applications.
Thank you, Shailesh, for bringing interesting insights and also industry use cases on storage-first pattern.
I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I'm sure our listeners would have received thought-provoking information that would help engineering teams leverage this storage-first pattern for cloud. Once again, thank you so much for tuning into Zorient Podcast, and stay tuned for another interesting technology podcast soon. Till then, stay safe, stay healthy.